on. Okay. Today's daf is Baba Kama, daf Lamed Tes. We're going to start on the Tanur Rabbanan and Lama Chesam Beis, about halfway down. Today's shiur is sponsored by the Ginsburg family for a refuah shalema for Rivka Perel Bas Fega Vela. Okay. So we are by towards Tanur Rabbanan. So now the fact that the Mishnah had been speaking of, had spoken about the shor of an Akum that was Nagach or was Nogayach. So now the Gemara is going to bring a brisa that talks about the shor of a Kusi. The Kusim are very popular in the Gemara. We come across them often. The question is whether the Kusim are true Gerim or they're not true Gerim. Because they were brought in, they got scared by the lions, and then they converted. So was their initial conversion really a good conversion, and now they're just not Shomer Torah Mitzvos? Or was their original conversion not a real conversion? They're not full-fledged Jews to begin with. That's the major machlokas that runs throughout Shas. The Kusim appear almost as much as Abaye. They come up almost every other daf in Shas. It's unbelievable. So Tanur Rabbanan, a little sarcastic there. Okay. The Tanur Rabbanan, Shor Shel Yisrael Shenaga Shor Shel Kusi Potter. If the Shor of a Jew damages the Shor of a Kusi, the Jewish owner is Potter. That's what the Tanakhama says. Okay, so this is under the assumption that even if you say that they are Gerim Gemurim, we're going to say that it's Potter because there's a Knas on the Kusim. There's a Knas. We don't want the Jews and the Kusim to interact because they don't keep Torah Mitzvos. So therefore, we made a Knas that if we damage them, they're not going to get reimbursed. They won't come to us. Okay, but Shel Kusi Shenagel Shor Shel Yisrael. If you have a Kusi Shor that damages the Shor of Yisrael, so we say Tam Mishalom Chatzin Nezek Umur Mishalom Nezek Shalim, because the Kusi is a Yisrael. So if a Yisrael Shor damages another Yisrael Shor, it's Tam Muad Chatzin Nezek Nezek Shalim. So you see, this Tanakam is saying that the Kusim are Gary MS. The only thing is, made a Knas. If we damage their Shoros, their Shvarim, then it's not going to be any payment in order to keep them away from the Jewish areas. But Rabbi Meir, Omer Meir says no. Shor Shel Yisrael Shenaga Shor Shel Kusi Potter. If a Yisrael damages a Kusi, it's Potter. Mishal Kusi Shenaga Shor Shel Yisrael Bein Tam Bemu Mishalam Nezek Shalem. It looks like here that it's like the din of a guy. The din of the guy was, we just said it's Re'eyu. There's no din of Tam by a guy here too. Rabbi Meir says there's no din of Tam by a Kusi. A Kusi damages a Jew, then what you have Nezek Shalim. So it seems to be a machlokas Tanakam Rav Meir, whether the Kusim are Geri Emes or not. So the Gemara now takes on that. Lememra, are you telling me the Sava Rabbi Meir Kusim Geri are Rayosheim? Are you coming to tell me that Rav Meir holds that the Kusim were not true Gerim, that they were only Geri are Rayos, they only converted because of fear of the lions that were eating them? So the Gemara says, so that's what it seems to say, but Urimini, I'll ask you a kasha from the Mishnah in Nida. The Mishnah either says kol haksavim, the stains. These are stains on the undergarments of the woman. The lacha is that the blood, the uterine blood of a Jew is tameh. The uterine blood of a non-Jew is not tameh. It's tar. But there's some other issues. But at the raisa level, it's not tameh. Okay, we're talking about here again, not just necessarily about the woman's relationship with her husband. It's just whether or not the piece of clothing is tameh. If it's tameh, it can be metameh other things. So you have to be careful with that piece of clothing. So, which is most of what Nida is about. The Masechta Nida is about. It's about the Tuma. So the Sava Rav Meir Kusim Geri Rayosheim, but we have a Brisa Rimini, a mention of Kol Haksamim Habaim Rekem. Tanakama there says all the Begadim that have a Kesem Dam that come from the city of Rekem. We met Rekem once before in the first Mishnah in Gittin. All these that come from Rekem, then Tehorim. Those Begadim are considered Tar. Why? Because we assume that most of the people that come from Rekem are Goyim, and the Kismei Dam of a Goy is not Tameh. But Rabbi Yehuda is Metameh. Rabbi Yehuda says, no, all the Ksamim from Rekem are Tameh. Why? And if they're Jehengerim Vitoim. Just, they're Jews over there. They were Miskayer, but they no longer keep Shomer Torah Mitzvos. Meaning, you could be a Ger, and it ends up that you didn't, not just like Jews from birth sometimes don't keep all Torah Mitzvah, sometimes Gerim also. They revert back to their old ways, but it doesn't say that, it doesn't take away their status of Jews. They're still Jews, and therefore, the Ksamim on their clothing is Tameh. Interesting thing about Gerim, in Bezman Hazeh, it does exist a possibility of someone being a Ger, and not doing, whatever, with the Ger controversy, people say, oh, if the Nashor Torah Mitzvahs were afraid that they're not going to be Jewish anymore. What do I mean? If you're a Ger, you're a Ger. So now you're just a Ger who's a Mummer. You're still a full-fledged Jew. Okay. So the Gemara then says, the Mishnah brings the next case. Now they're talking about Ksavim Mibain Hanachrim Tahorim. Ksavim that come from Goyim are Tahor, Mibain Yisrael, Mibain Kusim. If it comes from Yisrael and from a Kusim, it's Right, Rabbi Yisrael made kusim. Rabbi Meir mitame. Rabbi Meir is mitame. Why is Rabbi Meir mitame? If we just said that he set holds that kusim are gerir arayos, the only way a kesem is going to be mitame is if it's from a Jew. So here he's saying that kusim are Jewish, right? Which is a sira. Rabbi Meir mitame. V'chachamim mitaharim. V'chachamim mitahar. There's a machlokas in the gears. I do this alone. Nachshadu al kismehem. He's saying that it's really that it's how do you read this? It says that you read the Gemara. The article brings it down also in one of the notes how to explain the Gemara. But you see from here the point. It's a different gears between here and Masechet. Neither the point here is Rav Meir says you're metame the kesem of a guy. So if you're metame the kesem of a kusi, therefore kusim are Yisraelim. But we just if you're based on our Mishnah, it sounds like Rav Meir is saying that the kusim are like goyim. That's why there's no difference between tamamuad if they're sure as mazik. So what's the amakas of Rav Meir kusi geri emesheim? Because it's metame the kesem. So what's the steer with Rav Meir? So Amar Rabbi Abba, Rabbi Abba says, no, Kanashu Shekanas Rav Meir b'mamonam, Shelo yita amubahem. Rav Meir goes like the Keshita in Masechet Nida. The Kusim are Geri Emes. So why when their shore is no Geach Yisrael do we say that they pay Muad? There's no difference between Tam and Muad. He said because they made a Knas. We rekones the Kusim and we treated them like an Akum, Shelo yita amubahem. So they wouldn't mix. They wouldn't mix with the Jews. Because they're not going to come to our markets, they're not going to come to our places, because they're be afraid if their sword does damage, we're going to be konis them and make them pay nezek shalim. So they're going to keep them apart. So really, it's the end in our brisa, both Rav Meir and the Tanna Kamma hold that the kusim are geri emes. The question is, what's the knas? The Tanna Kamma was konis only to the fact that if we damage them, there's no payment. But Rav Meir takes the knas even further. If they damage us, it goes all the way to Muad right away. Okay. So Masiv Rabbi Zera. Rabbi Zera asked the kasha because you just now said that the kusim are geri are that we now going to say that you just said that we makones in order that they don't mix in with us. So Masiv Rabbi Zera, the elu na'aros yeshlehem knas. There's a list of na'aros. But if there's a knas, if someone's ma'anes them, that there's a knas. The chiddush here is that these are people you're not supposed to marry. Nevertheless, if you're ma'anes them, you still have to pay the 50 shekel knas for onus. Which what are they? Habal mamzeres v'hal nesina v'hal akusis. If one is ba'al mamzeres, a nesina or akusis. So you see that if you're ma'anes akusis, you still have to pay the knas of chamishim shekel. But we just said we'll see. So Isak Adaita Kanas Rav Meir b'mamonam. And if you said that Rav Meir was konis with their money, so hachanami niknos. What makes a knas here? Kadesha lo yitamu b'hem. Let's say, right, you know what? He was ma'anesu, but you're a kusi. You're not getting the money. This, therefore, you know, you should never come into town because God forbid something ever happens to you, you're still not going to get paid. Let's make you go all the way and make the knas. So the Mara says, wait a second, that doesn't make sense, because Amar Abaye, Kidei Shelo Yeh Choten Iskar. If that's the situation, then someone's going to, let's say a kusi does come to town, a man takes advantage of her, he says, you know what? I'm free, I don't have to pay him. So now you can have a chotis to me Iskar. He did a terrible thing. He was my honest woman. That's terrible. Then now he's not going to have to pay? We can't say that. So the Gemara says, okay, so again, kusim are geri emes. We were cornered by the shore muad, by the shore. We should be cornered by the ma'anes, except for the fact that we don't want the chotah to be niskar. So the Gemara says, but what's the big deal? But nasve l'aniyim. Make him give the money to the aniyim. Right? It's a knas. Force him to pay it. He's not going to be niskar, but he won't give it to the kusim. He'll give it to the aniyim. He goes, I'll give it to tzedakah. Just give it to tzedakah. So the Gemara says, Amar Rav Mari mishum da havim momach ein lo tovim. There's no one ani who owes the money. There's no one who can go to him and collect the money. So, what are you asking?
No.
There's no one here. There's a chiyuv to the aniyim. There's no particular ani who's owed the money. No one can come to him and say, give it to me. He'll say, no, I'm going to give it to somebody else. So a lot of people ask, and I think about it also, we had before that, you know, that we said that Beis Din is the yad for the aniyim. So what do you mean there's no one to be toveya for them? Beis Din will be toveya for the aniyim. Remember, we had the maimon shloshdom with the aniyim. He couldn't be chozer. What's the problem? What's going on over here? So it was a question of Tosfos Rabbeinu Peretz. He's asked that Beis Din is the Yad Aniyim. They can be motzi mamon. So he says what it means that there's no what it means that is there's nobody. Once Beis Din collects, yeah, you're right. Beis Din can collect the money, but then there's no ani who's going to go through the tircha to try to collect from it because they don't know it's not theirs. They don't have any right. They feel they don't have any claim for it. So no. So what's going to be happening is nothing. No one's going to collect. But my question that is, so what? So at least this way, the chote is not niskar. He's giving it to the Beis Din. It stays in the Beis Din. Big deal. The whole point over here was not to have the chote niskar. So who cares if the aniyim get the money or not? Let him take $50 and burn the $50 bill from him. So long as he loses the money. So I'm not sure I understand I understand the answer between the Rebbe and the parents. Okay. Next Mishnah. Shor shall be.
Does he have to marry her or no?
See, having to marry, I think, is only if you're Anis a Nara, right? Right, he can't marry her. There's a Nustin, there's a Mamzer, there's an Isser. Right. Even though you can't marry them, you still have to pay the 50 shekel. Shor shall pikeach. Okay, we have the shor of a grown, normal person. Okay? Shenagach shor shall cherish shotev a katan. And it does damage to the shor of a cherish shotev a katan. Let's just look at that, say a katan. It does damage to the shor of a katan. So chayev. So you chayev. Why? Because the katan owns it. Chatan owns it. You did damage to its shore. You have to pay mu'a tam, regular halachas. But v'shel chayre shote v'katon shenagel shor shel pikeach pater. But if the shore of a chayre shote v'katon does damage to my shore, it's pater. Why? So the havamina right now is that the Mishnah is talking about the case that's a short tam. So the problem with the short tam, is you go veya migufo. You collect it from the gufo. Gufo of the shore is metaltalin. If we're talking about a katan, I assume we're talking about a yasom. And you don't collect from the metaltalim of a yasom, right? Beistin doesn't go to the yarshim's fields to collect metaltalim. So the assumption here is that the Mishnah is dealing with yasomim, and therefore we don't collect from the metaltalim of the yasomim. Okay, that's what the Havamina is over here so far. But that's how Rashi explains. But nevertheless, shor shel cheresh shotev katan shenagach. But if a shor shel cheresh shotev katan is no geyach. So what does Beis Din do? Beis Din ma'amidin lehen apitropos. Beis Din appoints an apitropos. The whole point is they don't have das. They don't have das. And you need, in order to make a shor muad, you have to give the warning in front of the bailim. If they don't have das, it doesn't count. So we appoint an apitropos, and not an apitropos on all their property. Apitropos is for the shor, that we can now, right, ma'amidin lehen apitropos, u'me'idin lehen b'fnei apitropos. And therefore, we're made in front of the apitropos. We make the shor into a muad, via the apitropos. So after the shor becomes a muad, then they would have to pay. Why would the katan then have to pay? Because at that point, then it becomes you can collect from anything. You collect from karka. It's no longer metaltalin chov. It's all there. It's even on their karka, and therefore you can collect. Okay. Well, again, we're going to talk about this at length in the Gemara. Nispakeya hacheresh, nishtapa hashote v'higdil katan. What happens in all those cases? It became a muad when this guy was a kid was a katan. Now he grows up. What's the story? So the Rav Meir says, Chazul Samuso, Divrei Rav Meir. Rav Meir says it reverts back into being a Tam. It's no longer a Mu'ud, it reverts back into a Tam. It's Machlokes in the Gemara, whether or not Rishus is Mishana. Maybe the Katan says, you know what, you were watching it, but had I been watching it, it would have been okay. So therefore, I get another chance. It's Chazul Samuso, Divrei Rav Meir, Rabbi Yossi Omer, Harehu Bicheskaso. No, once a Mu'ud, always a Mu'ud, unless it goes back according to the rules that we've established beforehand. Okay. No, it can become a muad. You can't pay tam. We appointed the apitropos, so now we can make it that it would damage once, damage twice, damage three times. Now it's a muad. Yeah, that's why we have the apitropos. Right. So again, shor shel cheresh shote katan shenagach based in ma'amidin lehen apitropos, based in appointing apitropos. This person is now appointed on the shore. He's like the bailim. Umeidin lahen, and we testify about the shore in front of the apitropos, who's a stand-in for the bailim. Bifnei apitropos, and therefore, if it's nogea three times, it becomes a muad. The only thing is that we said you're putter from paying the tam damages, because the tam damages, according to Rashi, is migufo, it's metaltalin. And we're not goveya, we don't collect from the metaltalin of yisomim.
So, in relation to putter means from tam?
Yes. That's what they're talking about now. That's how Rashi learns the Mishnah, and that's how the Gemara initially assumes what the Mishnah is talking about. That was saying that we putter from the tam, but we even though you putter from the tam, it's not that it doesn't affect anything. It doesn't have an effect because we put them up in tropus to make it into a muad. Should have been ogeo three times. Okay. Next case is shorha itstadim. This is the stadium shore, right? Who's a trained killer, a bow fighter goes when the Romans they had they used to fight the people, used to fight the bulls. If it then is nogeach a person, it's not chayav misa. The shor is supposed to be put to death and pay kofar. The owner pays kofar. In this case, the shor is not put to death. Why? Shenemar ki yigach. Is that ki yigach? If the shor does damage, velo sheyagichu. Not if it's caused to do damage by something else. If the owner trains it and sends him out, then it's not that it did damage. It didn't do it by itself. So the chazanish here is mechadish that the Mishnah is saying that it's putter if it's nogeach an adam. Even if it's not Edgon, It's in its nature now to be nogeach. So even if it's not in the stadium and it goes and does damage to a person, it's still potter. But he says, right, because he's saying people were starting. The Havamina, the Chazanish is trying to say is that what happens? So he stores stadion and then goes into the stadium. It's fighting a bull and it does damage and kills. He's potter. Chazanish says, of course he's potter. The guy went into the stadium with the bull. He's saying no. He's saying that even if it did it as walking in the street, he'd still be putter. Okay, today's daf I'm not going to talk about that, so stay a little bit off. But Rav Adi Yosef says that what's this? Rabbi has a chew about going to a bullfight. He says going to a bullfight is not something that a Jew should do. It's not tzar balechayim. They kill the animal. Terrible things to the animal. That's not something someone's going to attend. But going to a zoo, he says it's not a problem. It's going to a zoo. They treat the animals nicely. They do all. It's okay. So. Boxing, they have this new thing where they don't have the gloves, right, and they kick. Are you mixed martial arts? I don't know. Can you make a kavah chomer for boxing? Because maybe boxing, it's two people decided, you know, with each other. They mochel each other. The bull can't be mochel itself. It's a tzar bali chayim issue. Someone who says, hit me, right? Someone says, hit me. You're putter, right?
A million bucks.
What? A million. It's a little more than a million.
Right, okay.
But he's putter if someone says to hit me, right?
Okay.
So. So there's a question whether this is a question about Misa. There's a machlokus Rishonim whether the Baal is chayiv for Nezek. It's a machlokus whether he's chayiv for Nezek. I would think he should be. I mean, he's like putting this dangerous thing out in the street, so he should be. But I still that's a machlokus. Right, and Muke Yosef brings down that it's dafka. If Muke Yosef is different than the Chazanish, he says it's dafka if it's nogeach in the when they're in the stadium. But if it's done afterwards, then it's not. Then he would be chayev. Okay. So now the Gemara says hagufa kasha. The Mishnah itself is kasha. To hold for this, Amarta, the Mishnah in the Reisha says. Just forget what we discussed about how I explained the Mishnah. Just take a clean slate. Shor shel chayev shote v'katar shenagel shor shel v'kayach potter. We said that you're potter. Alma mashma from this she'ein ma'amidim apitropus latam. It's mashma that we don't make an apitropus on the shore to collect tam payments. Because he's potter. Alma ema midah apitropos latam ligbos migufo to collect from the goof of the shore to collect the chetachati nezek of the shore tam. Aye, but ema seifa. Look at the seifa. It then says shore shall chayre show to the cotton shenada yogach based in ma'midin lahen apitropos umeidin lahem bifnei apitropos alma ma'midin lahen apitropos latam ligbos migufo. The Reish is talking about the tam. The seifa is talking about the tam. The Reish says you're potter. You don't make tam payments. You obviously can't take the payments from the katan by itself. Katan has no das. So anyway, only way to get payments is to appoint an apitropos. But the Reisha says you're potter. Mashma, you didn't appoint an apitropos. Sefer says you did appoint an apitropos. So what's going on? What's going on in the Mishnah? So the Gemara says Amarava like this. The din is like the Reisha. This is how we explained before that we're not mami an apitropos in order to collect tam payments, right? But what does it say in the Sefer that we are mamin apitropos? Tachi katani. The im hoksakud nagchanim. If we see that this shore has the nature to do damage, what do? Then mamidin lahen apitropos, umeidin lahen bifnei apitropos. Then we appoint an apitropos, and we testify in front of the apitropos, meaning we tell the apitropos it did damage, it did three times, umashvinim lahu muad. And then in turn, you use the apitropos to create the muad status. We're not appointing the apitropos to collect payment from the tam. We're appointing the apitropos only for the effect that it creates the muad status. So therefore, if it does damage the fourth time, you can collect from the yisomim and from the chayush shoti, even from the aliyah. So what does it mean? What does it mean that im huksaku nakhanim? So Tosfos says im huksaku nakhanim. It's the second Tosfos in the where it gets wider again. So im huksaku nakhanim the ain lefarish and nochu sholish pa'amim. It's not a case where it did damage three times, we appointed apitropos now. You missed it. Because you have to be made in front of the Baal, right? He says, the Hanicha Iliyude Torah. That only works if the three times is to make the shore muad. Ela Iliyude Gavra by Inan. If the whole point of making a shemu, remember how the malochus was the uya gavra, the uya torah, but if it's the uya gavra, then the person has to be warned three times. And this didn't work. So therefore he says, v'tzarech lomar, the huksaku nakhanin rishayim, u'mishtagayim ligach. the court sees that this shore is bucking a lot and is moving around. They have the assumption is that this is going to be a dangerous shore. So then they appoint the apotropolis. Then if the shore does damage three times and they warn the apotropolis three times, then it turns into a muad. So the mission, the ratio of the mission is like we explained before. The ratio of the mission is saying we don't appoint an apotropolis on the shore in order to collect tam payments, because that's coming migufo. We don't collect migufo. We don't collect from the yisomim in that case. But we do appoint the apotropolis in order to create the status of muad, so that if the shore becomes a muad, now you can collect the nezek shalim. Okay, so you collect from the aliyah, you collect from the best of the yosam. So the question is, me'aliyas man. So from whose nechassim are we collecting from? Are we collecting from the nechassim of the apotropolis because he's sort of now the stand-in, or are we collecting now from the nechassim of the yisomim? So it's machlokas. Rabbi Yochanan Amar me'aliyas yisomim. Rabbi Yochanan says he collected from the aliyah of the yisomim. Okay, this machlokas they say now is just from the in the shore of the yisomim, right? That we're going to see later. But by the cherish shota, since the point is you see that the machlokas is what maybe the apotropos should collect. You collect from the apotropos and they'll just get paid back when the katan grows up. That doesn't happen by the cherish shota because most probably they're going to remain in that status. So therefore, in that case, you won't be able to collect from them at all. So this machlok is only by the katan, by the yisomim. So me'elias laman, Rabbi Yochanan omer me'elias yisomim, Riosi barchanino omer me'elias apitropos, collected from the apitropos' stuff. So the Gemara says, umiya Rabbi Yochanan hachi, does Rabbi Yochanan really say that you collect from the yisomim? We're going to bring a Mishnah or a Brisa that shows that Rabbi Yochanan says you don't collect, only in specific cases do you collect from the yisomim. The ha'amar Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yossi, Mar'asi, ein is kakin l'nichta yisomim, Bezin does not go down to the nechassim of yisomim to collect a chov, ela im kain ribis ocheles behen. The only time we do that is if, say for example, the father borrowed money from a guy, assuming from a guy, borrowed money on interest. So therefore, the longer we delay collecting the money, the larger the debt's going to become. So in that case, in order to benefit the yisomim, we go down, we collect right away, to just pay it off, to prepay the debt, so the interest doesn't accrue for the next 30 years or whatever. But Rabbi Yochanan Omer, Olishtar Shiyish Bo Rivis, Oliksubas Isha, Mishum Mizone. He says there's another example. Also, if you collect, to collect the money for the woman's ksuba, we collect. Because that's for her, they have a chiyav, the father, the chiyav to give her food, so we collect. But you see from Rabbi Yochanan that Bezin is not yori to collect from the chasim yisomim, only for cases where the yisomim are going to lose out. Because if they don't pay for, they kind of constantly have to pay the wife, and they're also going to lose that if the interest keeps accruing. So therefore we go down. But otherwise we don't collect from the yisomim. So why in this case are we saying, the Rabbi Yochanan saying, that we're going down to collect from the aliyah of the yisomim? He doesn't say you collect from the aliyah of the yisomim. So the Gemara says, epoch. Switch the shitas. Rabbi Yochanan Amar me'aliyas apitropsin. Rabbi Yochanan says he collects from the property of the apitropos. And Rabbi Yossi Bachanina Amar me'aliyas yisomin. Switch it. Gemara says you can't just switch it like that because the halacha is we collect from the aliyah of the apitropos apparently. And he says mishum the kashi the Rabbi Yochanan mashis lein Rabbi Yossi Bachanina toa. Just because there's a kasha from one Rabbi Yochanan to another Rabbi Yochanan, now we're going to ascribe the incorrect shita to Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi Bar Chanina dayanahu v'nachis l'umke didine. He was a dayan. He doesn't, I guess to say, he never made mistakes in dinim. We can't ascribe to him an incorrect shita just because there's a steer in Rabbi Yochanan. So don't tell me that's a story. I'm assuming that when they say he's a Torah, who it must be that the halacha is you collect from aliyas apitropsim. And everyone knew that was the halacha, and therefore they don't want to ascribe that shita to Rabbi Yossi Bar Chanina. So the Gemara says, no. Ela la'olam lo tepach. Don't switch the shitas. Rabbi Yochanan still says you collect it from Elias Yisomim, even though we had the kasha that we had before. Why? Because mazik shani. For mazik, it's different. What does that mean, mazik is shani? So the Rush says, because you want to be, if you don't force people to make payments when they do damage, then the world can't really exist. Go out and do damage. So therefore, what's going to be? The shore became a muad, so there is a right to collect now. So go collect from the yisomim to make sure that they know that you can't just let your stuff run around scot-free. So that's the story. So you collect from there. So now the Gemara is going to explain what's the machlokas. So Rabbi Yochanan Amar me'aliyas yisomim, right? So quick question, or question from Tosas asks a good question. He says, the whole machlokas is weird. The whole idea that we said that you don't collect from the nechassim of Yisomim, that only involves a case where the father had a chov, and now we're going to the nechassim of the Yisomim, we don't collect from the nechassim of the Yisomim, except for these two cases. But here we're not talking about the father's chov, we're talking about the Yisomim's chov. We say the Yisur, because the whole reason why, we're Tanina basically for the Yisurim, that maybe the father paid back, maybe something, so we don't collect from the Yisurim. This isn't the father's chol that's being transferred to the Yisurim, it's the chol of the Yisurim, they're sure did damage. So what's this whole shayla going on about you collect from the, you don't collect from the Yisurim, you do collect from the Yisurim, so is the Masur Rebbe. He says, Im Tomar, Vahai Taima, the Ain is Kakin, Mishum de Chashin Litzori, maybe the father put something else, the Mepharish, Rafuna Breeder, Mishum Perket Pashut, we don't have that over here. It's his own chov. So Totsu says that maybe, he says maybe, he's trying to come up to some sheet to say that maybe according to Rabbi Yochanan, it says that you're not nisqa yisomim at all. You never go from the yisomim, even on their own things. And the real reason is because you can't be makabel edus not in front of the baal din. And since the yisomim aren't baal edinim, you can't be makabel edus. And since they're katanim, they have no das, so they're not considered, they don't fit into the categories of baal din. Aye, what about the other reasons that are brought down why you don't pay? So he says, that's even if the shtar, he said, that's talking about a case, the case where we said, with what was the rule, that case is an exception, that's a case where the shtar is sitting in Beis Din. So the shtar is already in Beis Din. The Rav always said the shtar speaks, the shtar is the baal din, you know, itself. So that, in that case, the reason why we don't collect from the Yisomim, because maybe there are other reasons. Maybe he put the father paid back or something like that. But really, the Iker din is what we have here. Tosos is saying that you never collect from the Nichsei Yisomim. And over there is a special case. He flips the whole thing on its head in order to explain this Gemara. He says, V'yishlomar, Rav Yochanan Kamar b'chol inyan einis kakim bein mil ba'ba machmas atzma mishum de'ein ekabim edo shalo b'fnei baal din v'yisomim kil shalo b'fnei baal din dami. And where's the other answer? Whatever. That's the answer that he gives. Okay. So you see that's he just turns the whole sugi on his head to fit over here. So now what's the machlokas? So Rabbi Yochanan Amar me'aliyas yisomim. He says you collect from the aliyas yisomim. Di amart me'aliyas apitropos. If you would say that you collect from the aliyah of the apitropos, the money of the lavadi, you're never going to find someone who wants to be an apitropos. I'm going to be the apitropos, I'm going to watch this kid's thing. If the shore does damage, then you collect, I pay. Why do I have the liability? I'm not getting paid enough to accept that liability. It's not, it's like my clients all the time. Indemnify me. I'm not getting paid enough. Let somebody else have the responsibility. So Rabbi Yossi Bar Chanina Amar Melias Apitropos, he says, no, you collect from the Melias Apitropos. Why? Chozrim v'nifrayim me'yisomim l'chin godly. Because when the Yisomim grow up, then the Apitropos can go back. So you're right, the Apitropos has to pay, but you'll get your money back. You'll get your money back eventually. So this is the point where you see that this whole din is only talking about Ketanim, because by Chayr Shoshotah, you don't get paid back. You don't get paid back back later.
And that means 13 or older?
13, you become a gadol. There's no older. 13 is a gadol. That's when you have das. So you see from here that the Meiri points out from here that Beis Din can't force somebody to become an apitropos because we're worried that they won't accept the assignment. And Tosos also over here he says the iya mart me'alis apitropos mimani v'loadi. They won't accept it. So he says mikam edaktik Rabbi Chaim apitropsin lo mishalmim afilu pashul. Even if they were poshea, they wouldn't have to pay. It goes to the, let's say they point the apitropos, and he's poshea. He says, go hit. You know, he's poshea. Nevertheless, so he doesn't have to pay, because we're worried that no one's going to accept. What happens if he doesn't accept? He doesn't accept an apitropos. Then the shore doesn't become a muad. Then the shore is walking around damaging people, and no one's getting paid. That's the parade of horribles if we don't have the apitropos. Okay. Right, so that's what Tosfos says, but the Mukhe Yosef says that if the apotropos is posheya, he then is mishalim mishal from his own stuff, and he's not chozer and goveya min yisomim. And over here we're talking about apotropos that done at least a minimal shmira. In that case, the chachamim are poter him. But Mukhe Yosef says if it's posheya, then you're posheya. You can't, you know, that's gross negligence. You know, there's different standards of liability. You know, even my clients agree that if there's grossly negligent, willful misconduct, bad faith, then you have to pay. Okay. Before we explained in the Mishnah that Beis Din is not ma'amid an apitropos in order to collect the tam payments from the goof of the shore, right? They only appoint the apitropos in order to turn the shore into a muad and then collect the muad payments. So now the Gemara is going to bring that this may be a machlokas rishonim, machlokas tanoim, as to whether or not you appoint the apitropos in order to collect the tam payments. Okay? The ma'amidin lahen apitropin Litam Ligbos Migufo, do we appoint an apotropos to collect the tam payments Migufo Shor, Tanaihi? That's a machlokus Tanaim. The Sanya, which we learn in a Brisa, Shor Shenis Harshu Ba'alav. You have a Shor, that's Bailim became a Cherish, right? Can't hear, can't see, turned into a Cherish, right? Shor Shenis Harshu Ba'alav. Vishenish Tatu Ba'alav. Or its owner became crazy, became a Shota. Started rolling around in the cemetery, right? That's the din of the Shota. How do you become a Shota? So, Vishahoku Ba'alav Medina Sayam. Or its owners went to the Medina Sayam. This, I don't understand what this is doing here. This is completely different. Halak Medina Sayam, nothing happened. He just went away. Alkul Medina Sayam, right? Yehuda ben Nikosa Amar Sumchus says in the name of Sumchus, Harehu Bisamuso. It remains a Tam. Okay? Figure out what that means soon. The Gemara is going to explain that we're not talking about the case that doesn't become a Muad. The Kavan is something else that we'll see. Harehu Bisamuso. Achei Idu Bo Bifnei Bailim. Until you testify that it did damage in front of the Bailim. Right? But since they're a Cheresh or a Shota, or they're not here, you can't give that testimony in front of the Bailim. Chachamim Omrim, Chachamim say, no, Ma'amidil Han Apitropin, you may appoint an Apitropis, Umeidim Behem Bifnei Apitropin, and therefore you make the Shermua because you give testimony in front of the Apitropis. So the Gemara says, the Brisa continues, Nispakeach HaCheresh, let's say afterwards the Cheresh, all son can hear, Nishtapa HaShota, the Shota gets better, Higil HaKatan, that brings in the Katan here, did we say Katan before? The Katan grows up, Ubo Bala Medina Sayam, or the owner comes back from Medina Sayam, Yehuda ben Nikosa, Amar Sumcha, says the name of Sumchas, Chazal Samuso. Now it goes back to being a short time. Ad she eat above with Nebailim, until you testify in front of its Bailim, Rav Yossi Omer Harei Buches Kasa. Rav Yossi says, no, it remains in its status as a Muad. So the Gemara is going to ask right away, there's a steer in Sumchas. If you read Sumchas first says Harehu B'Samuso, and then it says if they come back, it goes back to his Samuso. It never left its Tam, it never left being a Tam according to the first way we read in the Mishnah. So that's what we have to reinterpret what Sumchas says. So Amru, asking the Yeshiva, my Harehu B'Samuso. In the ratio, when Sumchas says that it talking about the shore of a Katan, that it's Harehu B'Samuso, to Ka'amar Sumchas, Ilema Delomi Aiklal, if you're telling me that it never turned into a Muad, so Hami the Katani Seifa Harele Samuso Michlal the Yoyed. In the Seifa, he says if the Katan grows up, now it reverts back to its Tom status. But if it never became a Muad, what's it reverting back to? So Gemara says, Ella, what are we talking about? My Harebe Samuso. What does Sumchas mean when he says Harebe Samuso? Harehu Bitimimuso. It stays in its completeness. Why? What does that mean? Delomach Resinanle. What happens when a Tom does damage, it collects Migufo, so he's losing ownership, right? With Mahogs are smaller, he's losing ownership in the shore. We're saying here he retains complete ownership in the shore, because we never collected Tom payments, right? We're not Govea Migufo at all. So even though we definitely are miming an Apitropos to make it a Mua, like it says in the Sefer, nevertheless, we don't appoint an Apitropos to collect Tom payments. Because it's Harehu B'Samuso, Harehu B'Shleimuso. So Alma ain ma'amid an apitropos l'tam ligbos migufo. That's what Simchas says. Not our Mishnah. But Chachamim omrim ma'amid an apitropos. Then what's the machlokus? Chachamim in the end say ma'amid an apitropos. Alma ma'amid an apitropos l'sam ligbos migufo. Chachamim are arguing with Simchas. Simchas, he just proves, says is not ma'amid an apitropos to collect the tam payments. Chachamim say no, ma'amid an apitropin. We do appoint an apitropos to do what? What was Simchas talking about? Collecting tam payments. So it's a machlokus. It's a machlokus tanaim. So then the Gemara says, so that's the Machlokas in the Resha. Now in the Sefer, what about in the Sefer? The Sefer, Sumchas says, it goes, so Sumchas, they all agree that it turns into a Muad. The question is whether the Apitropos is there to collect the Tam payments as well. And now in the Sefer, it says that the Kata grows up, it reverts back to its Tam status. What's that Machlokas? The Sefer b'maika mifliki, Rishus mishana ike b'nayu. The Machlokas Tanoim is whether or not the Shor Muad that goes from one Rishus to another Rishus, does it stay in its status of Muad? Or since it switched Rishuyos, now maybe it turns back into a Tam. Sumchas Sava Rishus Mishana. Sumchas says, yes, the Rishus is Mishana. Rabbi Yossi Sava Rishus ain't a Mishana. Rabbi Yossi says, no, Rishus is not Mishana. So what's the Machlokas? What do you mean Rishus? The Rishus is Mishana. So Sefer Dvar Yaakov Dov Zev Steinhaus. He's a Rosh Yeshiva in Yeshivas called Na'arim Letzi'irim. Wow. He gives it, this is like the high school Rebbe. Okay, so. sorry? Yeah, and he's got on a lot of stuff. He's got on everything. He's got on all the prakim that aren't learned. Right? You want to learn Merubah, you can find a lot of Rosh Yeshiva on this. He has on the second parak of the fifth parak, he talks about the seventh parak of Vavabash, and no one has sperm on that. It's a real deal, I'm assuming. He asks, Rishus Mishana. So what does it mean, Rishus Mishana? What would be the machlokas? So the Muke Yosef brings down that the new Bailam, which could say, that had the shor, I'm a pro, I know how to watch Shvarim, had the shor been in my Rishus, then it wouldn't have been Nogeach. So therefore, there was no Ha'adah in front of me, because I would have been, if you would have been made in front of me, I would have done something differently. He brings down a question from the Chazon Ish, the Kilos Yaakov, Kovetz Biurim, I think. I heard it also says in the name, right, Elephant on the OU website brought this down from the name of the Grizz, because we had a machlokus between Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Shmuel. Right? What happens when a short time does damage? Short time does damage, so according to Rabbi Kiva, it goes into the Rishus of the Nizak. So according to Rabbi Kiva, right, that Yuchlat Ashur, so therefore, how will you ever have a case of a Muad? Because every time it does damage, it goes into another Rishus. And if you say Rishus is Mishana, so it shouldn't count. Because it's in a new Rishus. So the next time it's time number one, changes Rishus again. So now it's time number one again. So how do you have ever become a Muad according to Rabbi Kiva? So he brings down from the Chazon Ish a few answers. He says that number one, because if that happens three times, the Chazon Ish says the halacha is if it's nogeach three times in three different rishuyos, then it's also a muad. So what would happen? Tam is it's nogeach, and then it goes into the rishus of the first nizak. Then it damages again the rishus of the first nizak. Damages again the rishus of the second nizak. So now it damages three times. First in the mazik's rishus, then the mazik and nizak one's rishus, then mazik and nizak one and nizak two's rishus. So it's mazik in three different rishuyos, still a muad. The other way he says that what happens though is that the Kilos Yaakov answers, type of says, when the shor damages, yes, it goes in the other person's rishus, but then when you pay, it goes back into your rishus. When you pay the damage, it goes back into your rishus. So it never left. It's still in your rishus. It never left your rishus because you paid for it. And then he brings down the name of the Chazon Ish that also is that it doesn't mean that as any time it changes rishus. It means every time it leaves from one person's rishus to another person's rishus. In the case of Yuchlat Ashur, Rabbi Kiva never left my rishus. Somebody else became a partner, but didn't leave my rishus. So it's almost a question of semantics, but saying that it's not that any time it changes rishus, it's any time it leaves one rishus and goes completely into another rishus. Okay.
Does everyone agree that they have to be made every time the Kiva comes?
Right. No, the machlokus I thought.
Every time.
I thought the machlokas was what the purpose of the ha'adah is. Is the purpose to warn the shore, or is the purpose to warn the person? But there still has to be a warning. I think. I don't remember. What was it, like 3 days ago? How am I supposed to remember that? So, isn't that how Dirshu started? The guy gave his shear. Right, what's the story? It's Deir Shustar. This guy started giving the shir. Gave a shir on his whole sugya in Masechah Shabbos. Comes 3 weeks, and now he's giving the shir be'in and shul. Because everyone remember we discussed the daf 3 weeks ago? And no one remembered. So that's it. We're going to do chazar. We're going to start. Yeah, that's how it started. Okay. The guy in Zundel Burma told me the story. Tana Rabbanan. Okay. Bring up Bryce now. Bring up Tosefta. Sure. Another case that's dealing with this issue. Sure. Chirish. Shote v'katan shenagach. If a shor v'chayr shote v'katan, again we'll focus on the katan that does damage. Rav Yaakov misharim chatzin nezek. And Rav Yaakov pays chatzin nezek. Gemara says right away. Rav Yaakov mavidite. What did Rav Yaakov do? So he says no. Ela ein Rav Yaakov omer misharim chatzin nezek. Rav Yaakov says you pay chatzin nezek. The Yavitz here says that this bedafka they had the lashon of the question is why do you have such a weird lashon? Yaakov misharim chatzin nezek. Right away you're going to change it. He says because Rav Yaakov was a dayan. Rav Yaakov was in charge of the Yisomim. He says that he was the Avbeistin, he was the Av of the Yisomim, so therefore he would have paid on behalf of the Yisomim. But the Gemara says, what? But why would he have to pay on behalf of the Yisomim? He didn't do anything. So he says, no, he's Mechayev Chatzin Nezek. That you have to pay, if they do damage, their Shvarim do damage, you have to pay Chatzin Nezek, which is different than our Mishnah, because our Mishnah said we weren't made, not put in the point of Apitrophus to collect Tom payments. So Yaakov here seems to be arguing. So the Gemara says, the Mayaskinan, what Shor... Again, forget what I just said though. So let's say, what shore are we dealing with that Rav Yaakov's come to be mechadesh that you have to pay chati nezek and not more? Okay? If he says tam, pshita. It's pshita that the payment will be chati nezek. All Rav Yaakov has to say is that you're chayev. If it's a short time, just say chayev. Well, again, we're up to daf lama test. You don't know if a short time is chayev, it's chati nezek. What's he telling you? It's chati nezek. Just say Rav Yaakov over Mishalim or chayev. the kuli amar nami chati nezek hudu mishalim. And then ibe muad, if we're talking about a shor muad, ida avid le shmira, if the guy did a proper shmira and it went out be ones klalo by le shmumen, you don't have to pay anything. It was an ones. But either lo avile shmira, but if you didn't do a shmira, kuli nezek by le shlume, then you have to pay nezek sholem. What's Rav Yaakov coming to teach me that you're paying chati nezek? If it's a tam, I know it's chati nezek. If it's a muad and it was a proper shmira, it's be nezek sholem. It's either everything or nothing, or it's pashut. So the Gemara says it's a combination of three shitos with Rav Yaakov now. Amar Rava la'olam b'muad. We're dealing with a muad, and therefore really he should pay nezek sholem. But why is he only paying chati nezek here? What's the reason why Rav Yaakov was only mechayev him chati nezek? Because we're dealing with a case, the avdi shmira p'chusa. He did a low-level shmira. Right? So for a low-level shmira is enough, v'lo avi le shmira mu'ula. A low-level shmira is apparently enough for a shor mu'ad, but in order to, for a proper shmira for a shor tam, I know it's counterintuitive, but proper shmira for a shor tam is a shmira mu'ula. Is a really higher, a higher level of shmira. We have shmira mu'ula, shmira p'chusa, and no shmira at all. So this middle level is sufficient shmira for a short muad. Okay, below avi shmira mi'ula. He didn't do the level one shmira. So keep that in mind. Rabbi Yaakov Savar Laki Rabbi Yehuda the Amar Tzad Thomas B'Mkomo Menes. He also like Rabbi Yehuda. We've heard this before. That Tzad Thomas B'Mkomo Menes, meaning if the tam portion of the animal always stays inside. So after say it's on his fourth negicha, now he's paying nezek shalom. It's paying full nezek. Half of that payment is midin shor muad. Half of that payment is shor tam, meaning only half of it collects from the aliyah, the other half is migufo. But there's a still part of this tam, still part in the tam is still part of the shor, right? The amar, right? Yaakov Savalov Karav Yehuda the amar Tzad Thomas Mukomo Medes v'Savalov Karav Yehuda the amar Muad Sagile B'Shmir B'Chusa. And he also holds like Rabbi Yehuda that a middle level shmira is sufficient for a tam, okay? So that for a muad. And the Savala Karabon and the Ari Mamila Petropos Atam Levos Megufo. So what happens here? He did a Shmira Pechusa. That's sufficient to protect against the Mua damage. But it's not sufficient to protect against the Tom damage. So therefore, he did this, and it's not Thomas is still in there. So the shore got out, it did damage. But the Shmira was sufficient to protect from the Mu'ad. So you're not chayiv on the Mu'ad aspect of the shore, but since the Tzad Tamos is still in there, you chayiv chati nezek for the Tzad Tam. That's why you're paying chati nezek, even though this is a Mu'ad animal. Because you did a proper Shmira for the Mu'ad, and it's not a proper Shmira for the Tam part. Aye, but we're dealing with Ketanim. So he says, because he holds Tzavalak Rabban and the Amri Ma'amidin Apitropos L'Tam Ligavos Megufo. He says that you do have to pay, because we appoint an Apitropos to pay Tam damages. So in this case, you're only paying tam damages. Are you only paying tam damages? It's a katan, because an apotropos is appointed in order to collect tam damages. So with the combination of these three shitos, Yaakov can say that we're dealing with a case of muad, of a katan, and nevertheless, you're only paying chati nezek. No? You got it? We do it again.
It's a lot of assumptions.
So the Gemara is... So Amalei Abaye says to Rabba, but lo pliki? What are you telling me? Yaakov Yehuda, don't argue. Vasanya, we have a brisa. Sure, shalcheir shotev a katan shenagach. Rabbi Yehuda mechayev. Rabbi Yaakov omer chati nezek hudu mishalim. Mashmi here that Rabbi Yehuda is saying nezek shalim, and Rabbi Yaakov is saying chati nezek. There's a machlokas between Rabbi Yaakov and Rabbi Yehuda. Why are you telling me that Rabbi, not only does Rabbi Yaakov hold like Rabbi Yehuda once, he holds like Rabbi Yehuda twice. But we see a brisa that he's cholik in Rabbi Yehuda. So Gemara says, Amar Rabba Barula, no. Masha Mechayev, Rabbi Yehuda, Peirs Rabbi Yaakov. Rabbi Yaakov here is not coming to argue on, not coming here to argue on Rabbi Yehuda. He's coming to explain Rabbi Yehuda. When Rabbi Yehuda says he's Chayev, Rabbi Yaakov is explaining, based on all these shitas that we had, he's only paying Chati Nezek. Okay, we'll stop here. Tough tomorrow, Menachem. Good luck. Have a good day.